Hi everyone, welcome to In Focus Video with Adam Goldberg Photography and Joseph Roybal Photography. I am Adam.
Hey guys, I'm Joe. Joseph, how y'all doing?
What's new, man? It's been a little while.
It's been a little while. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of been one of those traveling periods, I guess, again. And then you and I, you know, with between life and work and family, you know, it's been a little bit harder to connect on this. But yeah, just been working, hanging out, getting some stuff done.
Nice.
Some videos. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, things have been good. Been pretty busy with some projects for some clients of late, which has been nice. And yeah, just kind of continuing to go enjoying the nice fall here in Atlanta. And I think you can see the difference of weather based off of kind of how we're dressed. I'm in the t-shirt and it looks like you're bundled up for some Colorado snow or something.
Oh man. Yeah. When I woke up this morning, it was 19.
Woo. It's chilly.
It's chilly.
It was like 60 here, so we're in two different climates at the moment.
Two different climates.
But fall is coming here from a leaf standpoint, so I'm actually excited. Hopefully the next week or two things should peak.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm excited to get out and hopefully get some new fall content with some waterfalls and yellow and red and all those other fun fall color leaves. So.
Yeah. You know, it kind of went quick here. And I ended up going north. I went to Wyoming, Montana area instead of here in Colorado, just to get out of this typical area that I normally shoot. And it just goes quick. And now we've got still like crazy fires here going on. So it's just been an odd year here for us in Colorado.
Well, hopefully you're staying safe from all those fires. And everyone else is as well that's affected by them. So we're thinking about you.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, this week we figured Photoshop just updated their software. Adobe updated Photoshop. And there is now a super quick sky replacement. I think it's just edit sky replacement. I don't even think it's a filter. I think it's just edit sky replacement. In Photoshop. And so we thought this would be a great opportunity. It just came out to show you all the difference between doing a sky replacement manually, the sky replacement now new feature that is in Photoshop, kind of the one click sky replacement. And then also I am going to do quickly as well, show the difference between kind of the automatic sky replacement that Photoshop just came out with and what Luminar 4 has in their sky replacement. So I think this will be a good one to kind of show some of the differences that are out there and what is available for folks in terms of being able to replace the sky from the software, as well as I think you're going to do a landscape photo. I have one landscape photo I'm going to do just from a Luminar standpoint, but also kind of the architecture side as well.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, when Adam and I were just discussing, you know, kind of topics and such, this just came out, you know, like I think 2 days ago. And so it was one of those, you know, we had been discussing topics and then this happened. And I, you know, we started saying like, hey, you know what, why not do this? Cause this is like so relevant right now. And it's, you know, Photoshop trying to take on these other softwares like Luminar. And so, yeah, we just thought that this would be a really fun one. So I, like Adam said, I'm going to just stick to a single photo here on landscape side and do a quick showing what, you know, what the software will do, the new AI, and then, just see if it really like works well. And then between Adam's example with Luminar, you know, I think this will give us a good idea as to which avenue to kind of go down.
Yeah.
For those interested parties.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's, you're gonna dive into Photoshop here?
Yeah, I'll dive into Photoshop and I'll do like a start off here, you know, just kind of showing my screen and how I would set this up. And, you know, these are just a couple photos that I've, or one photo and then two skies that I've got that I'll just kind of try to lay in.
Awesome.
Or maybe even one, but we'll just see how it does.
Sounds good. Let's jump into it, man.
Cool. All right, pop in. Okay, cool. So here we are. I'm going to go ahead and just pop into Photoshop, or we are here in Photoshop. You're seeing my screen. And, you know, really, like we had discussed, this is more to show just like how Photoshop does this for you. It automates it. And then if you wanted to kind of go in and just try it on your own, but you'll be able to see how this does this pretty seamlessly. And the test will be to see, is it as good as Luminar, something like that. So Photoshop has their own pre-packed skies. I have taken one of my skies and put it into, you know, like the library here of the skies that we can choose. And then that being said, and the reason why I did it was so I could have this background copy, you know, right here set up so that I can turn it on and off in more or less the manual kind of blend example. But let's just go on Photoshop side here and we can check this out. So to do it, edit, and then sky replacement. Like Adam said, it's not even in the filters or anything. So just go ahead and click on the sky replacement there and it'll go ahead and pop up its little panel here, its window. And as you can see, the sky that I chose to work with is this kind of moody, dramatic sky. They have quite a few in here though that you can select and automatically it just throws it on there. You know, and when you work on these, you know, like the photo here being a sunset, you know, I'll just click a different one just to do it. How it can just throw these on and it does a pretty good job. But let's try to go back to, you know, more of the same, you know, same image here. If it'll do it. There we go. Okay. So we've got that selected. Now you have these pretty straightforward adjustments, but you can play with the, you know, your brightness. You can adjust your temperature on this to kind of maybe make it match a little bit, which it's not gonna quite match exactly right since you're not able to adjust, from what I've found yet, the tint. You know, if I could adjust the tint here, I could possibly get a little bit closer of an adjustment to that, matching the whole scene. But you can see how this adjusts the sky and the foreground. So I'm gonna go do on the lighting adjustment here down below. You know, you can play with this as well. You know, for that feathering, you can see how this is affecting that. And then the color adjustment. So it's,
yeah, I mean, it looks like there's, you know, like you said, kind of a couple different options there of some tools that you can use to kind of, like you said, make some small adjustments. And it is nice how it matches kind of a little bit of the foreground to the new sky. But maybe if you click okay, we can kind of see how well did it do kind of masking in, you know, along the border.
Let's do it.
Just to kind of see.
So there we go. It's done. It pops it right in. You've got it. So I'm just going to collapse. Well, actually I'll leave that open, but let's go ahead and let's zoom in.
It looks like it selected it pretty well.
It did a pretty good job. You see there is a little bit of a banding there, a little bit of a, you know, kind of like a halo, if you will, on some of that.
Yeah.
So you might have to go in there. And
it looks like it output the layers though for you too. So you can probably play with it a little bit if you need to.
Right. Yep. Right here, you can, it did a pretty good job. And it did this nice, you know, kind of a feathered mask, if you will, to help blend that sky into the, or the foreground into the sky. And to achieve this here, I'm pressing the backspace or the backslash key that's right above your return key on the Mac. And that, when you have your mask selected,
that kind of shows it to you in red. Yeah.
It shows it to you in red. So you can get an idea of where this is at.
Now, can you move the sky around a little bit? Like if you're like, oh, I don't really like the position.
You know, on this, let's see. So, you know, you might be able to adjust that mask.
Well, I'm actually thinking just the position of the sky, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Then, yeah, absolutely. I think you absolutely can. So let's click on the sky layer, the thumbnail, and let's see if we can drag this little sky around. Yeah,
move tool.
Oh, no. Let's see. It did it. Let me backspace that guy just to get it back. So when I click on this thumbnail here, I'm going to hold down the, I'm going to try holding down the command key to hold, to lock myself on there. There we go. I think that might work. There we go. And then let's release and see if it reapplies that. So you, it looks like you are able to kind of tinker with that a little bit, but see this, the light doesn't look right now down in here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I was just kind of curious. I mean, it's not really giving you a lot of flexibility to kind of move it around is not kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Not from first glance.
You're kind of trusting it. You're kind of trusting the software to layer it the way that it thinks is best.
Exactly. And then you can see that it didn't do a perfect job on selecting the foreground to the sky. Like there's a little bit of an edge there that you would have to potentially go into and fix that little, you know, halo, mm-hmm. if you will. So the alternative option is let's turn this off and then we're going to lose, you know, our foreground kind of cool blue. We're going to lose that, the temp, and we're going to lose our sky. And then, you know, then this here is the same sky, but from a little different perspective, but we'll just kind of check this out. So what I've already done, and Adam, you saw me do this a second ago, I did the select and mask. We've talked about this before, but I did select, where is it?
It would be select and mask. It's just, it's not highlighted right now.
Yeah.
It's oh, there. It is. Lower. Yeah.
It's right there. So, that is because I have the sky layer selected here. But so if I go to the background, you know, y'all can do the select and then select and mask. And then I just ran it across the sky to get this sky mask. And so holding down the command key is going to throw that on there and you see the ants march. And so now you can create a perfect mask for the sky.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about select and mask is that you're kind of controlling it, so you can make that edge absolutely perfect.
Exactly. So now with that selected, I will then turn on the background, that sky, you know, layer, and drop down to the vector mask or the mask little thumbnail tab here. And when I click on this, it's just going to throw it on there. So you can see though here that this isn't quite perfect either. So it's going to take, you know, I'm using the TK, the Tony Kuiper panels here, and you know, we've got the black and the white. So, you know, I'm going to try to kind of feather some of this in here.
Yeah. I mean, and so there's, it looks like there's some feathering that needs to be done. And again, it's not really doing a whole lot with the foreground. So you'd have to kind of do some additional edits on the foreground.
You would have to turn this into like a smart object, and then you'd have to open Adobe Camera Raw and adjust your temperature and all that in here. So All in all, the sky replacements through Photoshop are, I think, a little more complicated. You know, it takes a lot more effort, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The manual is definitely going to take like time. Although, comparatively to what Photoshop is doing, I don't know if it's gonna save you a ton of time. It is gonna be easier to use their new sky replacement tool, but then you're gonna have to go in and kind of fix some stuff.
Yeah, I think especially too, if you want to get the sky in an exact certain spot, it almost seems like the manual might be the way to go too. So yeah. I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for out of that sky replacement.
Absolutely. Exactly. And you know, when I'm doing sky replacements, and I don't do those first, when I'm doing like twilight and sunset or, star photos, and I do photograph in the blue hour, then I have to blend that in with the sky. That is when I think that like just doing a select and mask and in Photoshop and then matching everything up, that's what I would probably still do. Cause this is here kind of, Photoshop's new setup is still not perfect from, you know, quick glance, but it's also not a far off, you know, like this could work out still pretty dang well.
Yeah. It looks like a pretty solid start at least to work off of.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, really it is. So So yeah, so that's my deal here. Just kind of going through a quick and dirty of let's get down to see what this new sky replacement tool can do. And do you want to take off here and kind of show us like in comparison here to say like Luminar or another?
Yeah. Let's do that. So I'll pull up my screen here and we can give it a try in compare kind of the Photoshop and the Luminar.
Sweet, man. And I think this is exciting because, I mean, Luminar is like the known and like right now, I think like the industry standard, I guess you would say maybe for sky stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's check it.
Cool. All right. So here we are in Photoshop and I'm going to walk through three images here in Photoshop. And then I'm going to show you the same three images in Luminar. And we can just really then see how well each software does in terms of replacing the sky. So this is kind of a twilight, maybe early evening image of a school. So this is kind of your classic architecture image. And one thing is for most of my architecture images, especially kind of your twilight shots, I actually do replace the sky just because it allows me to really control the scene exactly how I want and provide that vision. So I know that, Joe, that's something that we can kind of talk about on the landscape side, certainly is kind of reality versus kind of now creating something that's a little bit more artistic. But for now, just kind of walk through this. So here is this first one. So I just went through the same thing that Joe did on Photoshop. So edit, sky replacement, and that's it. I would say, overall, I think this did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and if you zoom in on those trees in the back on the right?
Yeah, so if we start to kind of zoom in on those trees, I mean, it did an okay job. It actually left the original cloud, it looks like, mm-hmm. in there. But I think it works.
It did a good job.
Look at it on this side, too. It left a little bit of it. But it added, you know, especially like right in here, it added a little bit of color between those trees. You know, the roof line and everything looks pretty good. It kind of looks like maybe a little fuzzy over here and a couple little spots there. But overall, not bad.
Yeah. I'm impressed on that one.
Yeah, so that one looks pretty good. Let's look at a landscape one. So now, before we actually do real quick, you can see it also, as you pointed out previously too, it does kind of give it a little bit, it does a good job of kind of changing the tone of the image a little bit.
It does. It does a pretty good job of changing like to like match, you know, the sky being a little purple there.
Yeah.
All that like cast is in the photo as well down below on the sidewalk on the gray, how it's picking that up.
Yeah. So it I mean, it's not bad.
No.
All right, landscape. So here's landscape. So I just kind of picked the sky and clicked, did the replacement. I don't love this for a couple of reasons. Obviously the first one is you have some trees kind of from the original sky popping up here. I also don't like kind of how it kind of toned the upper part of the image kind of through here. I think it kind of makes it look a little flat.
A little flat. So, you know, we talked about this earlier. So if you go to your actual sky, if you click on that layer there and that, and then if you select the move tool, and then if you drag that down, how does it do on readjusting some of that? Does it look like, is it working on your end for that one?
Yeah, that helps. So, you know, I think what Joe's saying, you know, obviously you don't want the trees kind of here in the photo. So it gives you a little bit of flexibility to kind of move it around to maybe match kind of what you want a little bit more. So, I mean, I think something like that already looks a lot better.
It does. And if you zoom in on your peaks there, how did it do on, you know, isolating and doing it like for a mask?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. You know, there's maybe a little bit of haloing. I mean, I think it would kind of, again, depend on your usage, what you're using it for, you know, how big of a print you wanted, all kind of those things. So, but I mean, I'm actually pretty happy with this.
that one looks a lot better than it did on my end. And it might have been too that you selected a bit better of a photograph to, you know, model off of.
Yeah.
But not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think this looks pretty realistic. I think this is something that could work and someone could believe this.
Yeah, not bad.
So that's the landscapes guy. And then I also did a real estate one. I know, again, a lot of folks in real estate replace skies. So for me, especially when you're doing these kind of replacements, I mean, Atlanta here, we have tons and tons of trees. So I always look in terms of how it does around kind of these edges here around the trees and, you know, does it make it realistic through the trees? Because you're really trying to represent something. And if you change the sky to something that doesn't work, you're kind of misrepresenting. So let's see kind of, we click this, how this looks. Not bad. I think as we kind of go over here, you can kind of see, I think it had some trouble with those leaves, but it's not too bad actually. That's pretty, you know, I think that's doing a pretty good job there.
So is this guy here the blue sky that you had originally, you know, because I know that I was this a final edit for you that then you're.
So that was a final edit. So that one was a final edit that you had. Now, one thing I am noticing here is that it did not align the sky very well. So if we come over here, we can see kind of a harsh line right here of new sky and old sky.
Check your layer there, sky layer. Did it get dragged to the right by accident or anything?
It might have. So let's kind of see now. So the original sky. So you'd have to stretch this out a little bit.
You'd have to scale it.
So you'd have to do some scaling. So let's see here. Edit, transform, scale. And let's do that. So, anyway, so again, I think it does a pretty good job. Actually, let me click enter so that way it takes that into place. But I mean, that's, again, it kind of tries to match the scene a little bit. Whether you like this new sky better certainly is a personal preference. But again, overall, I think it did a pretty good job of, you know, getting,
yeah,
you know, all of these kind of details in.
It did a good job. What I don't know that I like as much on this one though, is when you turn off your sky, like the layer, the sky replacement group, just the whole group, the visibility there. Like, I do prefer your final edit, the tonality on the, and the contrast on the tree on this upper left area. I do like this look to this look. I don't like how that tree gets kind of muted and flattened because it's trying to just do a gradient all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, you're trying to convey a mood, a time of day. The darker tree is conveying that time of day, I think, a little bit better.
Yeah.
Than this is doing.
True.
It's brightening it up. It's making it flat.
Exactly.
And I agree.
And that could be also mitigated potentially by just choosing a different sky, like, you know, in the Photoshop pack, that's just like a blue sky, and that might do better on this.
Yep.
But still though, you know, not bad. I mean, I will say that, like, you know, the more we tinker with this, I'm a little more, you know, kind of like thinking, man,
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm pretty impressed. So let's jump in to Luminar. And hopefully you can see my Luminar now.
Yep. It's there. It's perfect.
All right. So let's do these kind of the same images. So here is our commercial property. Same sky. Let's see how it looks here. So we kind of zoom in. So it looks maybe like a little kind of funky over here with that original cloud. But did a good job going around the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. We can kind of see how it did over here. Again, kind of same thing that Photoshop did as well. It did change the color here of that. So again, it's giving that realistic view. So that way, you know, it's not white right there and then pink kind of everywhere else. But one of the things I do like that Luminar does and makes it easy is kind of your horizon blending. So you can kind of, it just kind of has these sliders where you can kind of adjust the horizon blending, the horizon position.
Okay. That's easier.
It's a little, yeah, I mean, it's definitely makes it a little bit easier, I think, than Photoshop, where you have to find your layer and then move the, you know, go to the move tool and move it around. You're also able to decide how much of the relighting of the scene you want. So you can see now I've turned it down to zero, and then as you turn it up, it's starting to relight the non-sky part of the scene. Yeah. Actually kind of relights it the whole thing. So gives you a little bit of more flexibility there too. And then sky global, just kind of how much I think it kind of.
Oh, you can see the background there behind the tree.
Yeah, the background, it's kind of changing a little bit. So
definitely.
And, you know, you can just double click and bring it back to how Luminar thought. But I'd say these are probably pretty similar. Almost like a personal preference, really, in terms of which one you like better, especially kind of around this tree over here on the right. But I kind of like what Luminar did up here a little bit.
I do.
I think it's relighting the scene a little bit better.
Well, and from what, like, you know, having never used Luminar on this end, my end, seeing this here, then like the positioning and the relight scene, just how simple it is, you know, it's kind of like Lightroom in that way, where it's just, you got sliders, you just adjust it, super quick, super simple. And Photoshop, again, you can do it all. It's, but it always, Photoshop, you kind of have to like know how to get around, like I said, you know, like doing the, turning something into a smart object and then going into Adobe Camera Raw and adjusting your lighting and, you know, a few more steps involved.
Yeah. And again, right here, you got closed gaps. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, and then you can, I mean, you can get as specific as you want here too.
Yeah.
In the sky replacement. And so all where this is just under this second panel down where it's under creative and it's sky replacement. So again, it's super easy to find in Luminar.
Awesome.
So here was this one. Here is this one. This looks terrible. So here's our landscape photo in Luminar, and it looks terrible. But again, you can adjust your horizon position. So now all of a sudden you're kind of just really super quick, easy. And I think that looks great.
And then if you zoom in, you know, like if it's possible to zoom in and just check your edge.
Yep.
Oh yeah. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, kind of looking at that just around, it looks pretty solid and like on that ridge line. Yep.
Yeah, I think Luminar is maybe just a little bit ahead on this one.
Okay.
Not by much, but I think part of it, again, is just the ease to use.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of tinkering with some of these things. So
cool.
And then the last one here.
Yep. Let's check this guy.
So here is this one. Let's zoom in over on the right hand side here. Again, does a pretty good job handling the trees and kind of some of the light behind it. And looks now like it looks is. Like Luminar kind of fixed the sizing problem automatically. We don't have that line like we did. I don't have to scale it.
Right.
It kind of automatically scaled the sky for me. Are you there, Joe?
Yep. I'm just looking at it. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it automatically scaled the sky. It didn't flatten out this tree. And again, you can adjust your horizon position and it'll make some adjustments. But one thing I am noticing, you look kind of in here, looks like it kind of did create a little bit of a...
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of taking the sky. So you'd have to mask that out. So it's probably because this is a white house.
Exactly.
And so it kind of is having a little bit more trouble determining where the sky is. So again, some benefits, I think, of Luminar here. It automatically scaled it, but it looks like it had a little bit more trouble with the house itself.
That is interesting. But yeah, so that's pretty awesome, man. Like just seeing these comparisons side by side. And, you know, Luminar being kind of like the go-to at the moment for sky replacements. And then now Photoshop coming on and just saying like, hey, you've already got this bundled in our package. So it kind of turns into whether or not you would want to spend the money on Luminar.
Yeah. So there's kind of the difference between Photoshop and Luminar in terms of the sky replacement. I think both are pretty now easy, kind of like one click.
Yeah.
Sky replacements. I think every individual usage case is probably going to determine maybe which one suits you better if you're looking for that one click. And then obviously if you want to go manual, either on Luminar and Photoshop, then that's an option too.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop my share here and we can chat about kind of
wrap up
a couple other things. All right. So that was sky replacements. We talked through kind of doing it manually. We talked through doing the new Photoshop edit sky replacement and Luminar sky replacement feature. So seems like there's some pros and cons to using all three. And I think it's going to really be up to you in terms of which one you think is best.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty impressed with the Photoshop one. You know, I do though think that I like Luminar's kind of user interface, if you will, better. I would say it really would come down to like which one you want to go with and if you want to spend the money on it. But also too, like you and I have discussed, it kind of comes down to the differences of your photographic genre, if you will, like you being architectural, real estate, and then me being landscape. I think that comes down to the ethics of it. Like, you know, and then it's interesting because on the landscape side of things, you know, when you swap skies, it's really kind of comes down to that photographic art disclosure necessity because you're not keeping true to the scene.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I do some architectural real estate stuff every now and then, and I could totally see the value in this and even buying Luminar because that was really a good example, a demonstration. But you know, for you and your architecture, it's like you say, it's like kind of like a normal industry standard thing to do to maneuver your skies, if you will, to, you know, emulate and create the feel. And that's necessary.
Cause that's the thing is, you know, and I'm sure there's lots of people in the architectural photography field that would say never replace a sky. But for me, I'm being hired to create an artistic representation of a space. And so if that does, again, if that does necessitate replacing the sky, I'm fine with that. Right. I'm not misrepresenting the building by replacing the sky as long as it kind of matches, you know, as long as it's like, okay, it is very believable that that sky could have been there on that night at that twilight at that time of day, you know, if it matches and feels right. So I think there's that piece to it. I think it has to still fit with the image and you're not creating something that's completely unrealistic. But again, I think it is, like I said, different than the landscape where it's like that sky was not there. So you're now misrepresenting the scene. Whereas on the architectural side, you are still creating an artistic representation of a building, of a space, of a house. And so replacing that sky, I think you have a little bit more leeway to do so without having to fully disclose that you did it.
Yeah. And I think that's just like the differences of yours and mine.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, ethics, like you can go down the path of like watching podcasts and or listening to podcasts, watching, you know, people. This is a whole like episode in itself.
Yeah.
I think it's just on the landscape side, you got to let people know you do it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to when you do it.
I think that sounds fair.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think this was another good episode. Again, hopefully with the new Photoshop Sky replacement that you all found this episode useful to kind of compare all the different options that are out there and available to you as a user. And, you know, our goal here is to provide useful content. So,
yeah.
You know, email us, let us know whether this was helpful. If you have questions about any of the things that we went over here, please email us. Our email is infocusvideocast@gmail.com. As always, you can find us on YouTube at InFocus Videocast. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all of your favorite podcasting platforms at InFocus Videocast there as well. I think that's this one, Jeff.
That's pretty good. Thanks for tuning in, you know, everyone on this one. And yeah, like Adam said, drop a note, comment, whatever. Hit the like button if you liked this video and thought it was informative.
Tell your friends.
Tell your grandma.
Yeah, exactly. Never know what she might be interested in listening to these days. Yeah. But thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll hopefully try and get some more of these out on a little bit more regular basis again. Thanks for your patience on that as we kind of work through our regular lives. And with that, Joe, always enjoy doing these with you. So thanks for partnering up with me on this. And everyone, thank you for tuning in.
Thanks everyone. Good to see you, Adam. All right.
Bye.
See you guys. See you next time.